Greetings, everybody. There's a lot of disorder going on in the world, a lot of challenges between weather and nations going awry and different things. So I figured I'd talk about order versus chaos and how we can get some order back in our lives. I'd like to begin by talking about, or going through, Genesis 1 verses 1 through 2. It says, "In the beginning, Elohim created the heaven and the earth, and earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the spirit of Elohim moved upon the waters." So it says, in the beginning. And you can see that not everything seems to be right in this type, in the, how the universe is right now. The words without form and void in the Hebrew mean, it comes from the word tohu and bohu, which means wasteness and emptiness. And even the word without form, it gives like a sense of there's no structure to things. It's almost like all of the atoms of the universe are just scattered everywhere. There's not really much structure to everything. There wasn't any form. The world isn't what it is supposed to be. It's not as we see it now. And in this sense, it's almost like a type of chaos where things are not in their proper order or how they're supposed to be. And so Yahweh begins the creation process. First thing he does, Elohim says, "Let there be light," and there was light. First thing he does is he starts to separate things out. He separates light from darkness. And then if you go through, I'm not going to go through it just for time's sake, but if you go through the book of Genesis 1, chapter, you can see more separation happening. You see water from the earth. You see the different types of celestial objects, differentiating between different things of creation. Separating the different types of animals. And if you look at how the creation goes, there's a sequential order because he separates the water from the earth and then he creates animals to inhabit these things, for them to live in these areas. So there's order to the order of chaos, order to the order of creation. And each builds upon the next until it comes to Yahweh creating us. Yahweh creating us to be stewards, Adam and not as us, but Adam and Eve being stewards of the earth and of the creation. So we see the creation process that Yahweh has made, and he said that everything he made was good. And then, like every story that's ever been known, chaos comes. And we find the fall of Adam and Eve. And Satan deceived Adam and Eve. And because of their sin, chaos and disorder re-entered the world again. Yahweh, who had mastered the chaos of the disorder, brought everything into order, and everything was perfect and good. And then man sinned, and we brought back that chaos. And now it is our responsibility to try to master the chaos that's been put in our lives. So how do we do this? Now, the first thing I'd like to talk about is, what does this chaos represent? And kind of breaking it apart into its certain elements of what it means. Chaos really is more than just evil. It's more than just what, you know, Satan is. It's more than just malevolence. Chaos, when sin entered the world, it brought a breaking down of order. And you can see that throughout the world. There's entropy, which is the second law of thermodynamics, that things tend to break down unless work is given. The world is not as safe anymore. There are bad people that live in this world. There's bad things that happened. Things are not perfect. Man is not perfect. We realize that we are finite, that we have an end. And so you have men who wish to take from others because of their finiteness and their insufficiency. And we constantly have to deal with the threat of, you know, we live in a very comfortable society compared to thousands of years ago, whereas food, water, and shelter are not quite as much of a problem unless you deal with catastrophes like Texas and Florida as well soon. We can't live very long without shelter. If you look at survival, first thing you have to do is you got to find shelter, and then you got to look for some water, then you have to look for some food. Just for us to survive, we can't last 3 days without water. So there's a constant working that we have to do just to survive. When Adam sinned, we brought this curse of toil. Not that work is a bad thing, but it seems like everything got kind of harder. That takes much more work and everything started breaking down. Chaos is us being faced with problems. We're faced with the problems of our own finiteness. We're faced with the problems of things not lasting very long, of things breaking down. We're faced with problems that go wrong and having to deal with them. And sometimes that's actually really scary, of having to deal with problems. Sometimes it's very intimidating. Sometimes it seems like a monster that you just want to defeat, but you can't. It seems like it's such a big problem. Sometimes it can be our fault. Sometimes we bring upon the problems that we have. I can think of my own life, of different things that have gone wrong, and I always have to ask myself, well, you know, I could have done a lot better here. Sometimes there are things outside of our control. For instance, like the storm. It wasn't not like the Texans, you know, asked for that storm to happen. But sometimes the chaos is a responsibility that we face. Sometimes it's, you know, work as a person that we have to get done, and maybe we don't feel like we want to do it. And there is a responsibility that each one of us has to do, that we have to face. It can take on many, many forms. And just talking about the Texas flood, that was a situation that people had to deal with. It was a chaos. It is still a chaos that people are still dealing with. But if they did not deal with that chaos, what would happen? Well, people wouldn't have places to live. You know, people wouldn't survive very long with those things. They wouldn't have clean clothes. Things would deteriorate into disease. You see, you know, nations where cleanups don't happen, disease follows afterwards, which would create even more problems. So there's, when you think of life, there's always going to be problems popping up. But it's how we deal with them, and we have to deal with these problems. We can't just ignore them, because the problem isn't just going to go away just because we want it to. Chaos is a problem that needs a solution. And hopefully each one of us wants to find solutions to our problems. They're not pleasant. And, you know, each one of us has problems. I'm sure just talking about this subject, I'm sure we've thought of a few things to pop into our minds, of things that we want to deal with, but we don't know how to deal with, or things that we are dealing with that we don't feel like it. Life is filled with problems, and will always be filled with problems until the day we die. And that's just a fact. And we have to find ways to combat this chaos. And it can be very painful, but not doing so can be even worse. It's almost like pulling out that tree before it's grown to full length. You pull out before it's small, when it's small, before it grows even larger. There are wrong ways of dealing with chaos. And I'm going to go through two ways that this can go wrong before I get to the right ways. One way is embracing the chaos. And you see this in the world, which is kind of strange. A lot of people think, well, chaos is a bad thing. But there's a lot of, I read a book recently called The Closing of the Muslim Mind, How Intellectual Suicide Created the Modern Islamic Culture or Islamic Crisis by Robert R. Riley. Now, I'm not going to criticize everybody who is Islamic. I think there are some people just don't really understand the belief system. But if you look at Western culture, it is built upon cause and effect. And you can see that in things that we've made. It's based upon, if I do this, this will happen next. And that's science, that's all of our thinking, this cause and effect. If you look at the Islamic culture and their ideas, there's really no such thing as cause and effect. Everything is Allah's will. And the world as we know it, from what this book talks about, and I corroborated with that gentleman that came a few months ago that spoke about the dangers of Islam, that the creation that we have now is basically, and try to explain this, everything can change within a moment's time. So the moment that we have now could be different from the next second, and right could be wrong, and wrong could be right, and everything is Allah's will, and there is no set pattern of reality. And you also see that in these social justice warriors and these different things going on with the LGBT. There's a lot of chaos, and people are embracing this chaos, and it's a scary thing. Another extreme is totalitarianism, which is one of the hardest words to actually write out. It's a lot of I's. Absolute state control. We saw this in Nazi Germany and Soviet Russia. Most people don't really pay attention to Soviet Russia, but that was terrible totalitarianism. Too much control. No freedom to live. So you got to find that balance where there's not like absolute control over everyone's lives, but nothing there that there's chaos. So this is what I'm going to talk about. How to find this balance, how to gain control of our lives. First thing we have to do is we must not run from it. We have to face the chaos. Example is Jonah. Now, most of us know the story. Yahweh has given Jonah a task. Now, the word of Yahweh came into Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." So, there's a city called Nineveh, and Jonah's a prophet, and Yahweh says, go and preach to that city and tell them that they're wicked so that they can change. So, obviously, Jonah goes right to the city, and no. He actually goes in the exact opposite direction. If you look at a map, I don't have it here, but Tarshish is the exact geographical opposite to Joppa. But Jonah rose and fled unto Tarshish from the presence of Yahweh and went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with him unto Tarshish from the presence of Yahweh. So he sails from the problem. He's trying to get away from his responsibility as much as possible. And what happens? Well, the result is that Yahweh causes even more chaos in his life. Instead of dealing with what his responsibility was and what he was supposed to do, more chaos happened, more problems happened. What happens is a great storm comes up. Yahweh is angry at what he's done. The fishermen or a seaman in the ship need to save their ship, need to save themselves. And they determine that it was Jonah. Jonah confesses, and they throw Jonah into the sea. And he is swallowed up by a great fish. So things aren't looking good for Jonah. The problem was that he did not do what he was supposed to do in the first place. And like I said, problems are always going to come up, but this is what happens if we run from them. If we ignore problems, it's going to compound, and it's going to create even more problems for us. So first thing, don't run from your fears, or don't run from your problems. Even though they may be fearful, it'll make you stronger. The way to make yourself strong against fear is not to make yourself less fearful, but actually to make yourself stronger. When I was writing this message, I was thinking about Joshua. And in Joshua 1, it talks about how Israel is going to take the promised land. And it's beset by enemies all around, and they have a really huge challenge before them. And Yahweh tells Joshua right before they enter the land, he says, "But Yahweh sent out I missed that part. Okay, so that's the part with the wind and the sea. "Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee." Yahweh tells Joshua to be strong and courageous, not to be weak and to be fearful, but to take a stand against what is right and to do what he's supposed to do. So Jonah's in the whale. Let's get back to Jonah here. And what does he do? Jonah then prayed unto Yahweh. Yahweh, Elohim, out of the fish's belly. And I said, "I cried by reason of mine affliction unto Yahweh, and he heard me. Out of the belly of the grave cried I, and thou hearest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look toward thine holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about, the weeds were wrapped about my head, and I went to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption. O Yahweh, my Elohim, when my soul fainteth within me, I remembered Yahweh, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of Yahweh." So Jonah should have gone towards the problems and dealt with them when he did, but he didn't. So he was in the fish's belly. But when he realizes his situation, the first thing he does is he humbles himself. And that's the next thing we need to do. Whether we've gone away from the problem or we've gone towards the problem, in any case, we need to stay humble towards Yahweh, whether the problem is small or great. And like Jonah, we need to rely upon Yahweh in any kind of mess that we're in. Because there are so many things that we can't do on our own. For instance, Proverbs 3, verse 5-7, it says, Trust in Yahweh with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear Yahweh, and depart from evil. Yahweh wants us to ask him for help. He realizes that we are in the condition that we're in, and we can't do everything for ourselves. Now, he doesn't do everything for us, obviously, but there's many situations where you feel like, you kind of feel like Jonah. You feel kind of feel like you're in this whale or you're in this fish, and there's really no hope of getting out of the situation that you're in. Just kind of despair. Whenever I read this passage, it's like I thought about different periods of my life where I just felt that crushing weight of, wow, I'm never going to get out of this. And sometimes you need some help. And Yahweh wants to help us. If you look at the book of Judges, there's a main theme that runs through, a main sentence that runs through, and says, "And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of Yahweh." And you see this recurring theme through the book of Judges that the Israelites weren't exactly up to par of what they're supposed to be. They turned to idolatry. They rejected Yahweh. And then they humbled themselves, and Yahweh came back to them. Yahweh is there to provide a solution. He wants to help us. We just have to ask him. And it's not just for Yahweh either. We have to be able to accept help from other people, too. I know this for myself. Sometimes it's hard for me to ask help for other people, and I'd much rather just do it on my own and just figure it out for myself than ask for help. But this isn't a good attitude to have. And whenever I do that, I get into worse problems. We need to be able to ask help from other people and not just humble ourselves towards Yahweh, but also humble ourselves towards other people. The next thing that Jonah did, it says that he would sacrifice unto Yahweh and pay his vows. And I was thinking about that for a while, and I was thinking, well, what does sacrifice mean? Like, what does he mean by this? And if you think of sacrifice, sacrifice is actually work. When I go to work, I sacrifice my time, which is a valuable asset. I sacrifice my time to make money. Things of value take work. You always have to sacrifice something to get something else. And the next lesson is you have to work through the chaos. You can't just let it sit and think it's going to go away. And Yahweh's commands are a great part of this. It helps you master the chaos in your lives, and it keeps it from coming into you. In other words, if you can stave it off, then that would be a great way to have it take over your life. Yahweh's commands help us interact with others. It helps us to protect us from violent chaos. It's a check on wickedness from others and other people. It's a great way to, if you look at Yahweh's commands, and the more I go into Yahweh's commandments, especially the Ten Commandments, I'm just blown away by just how perfect they are and just how they keep like a perfect system of order of dealing with each other and also dealing with Yahweh and also putting a check upon our sinful natures. And it also strengthens us too. Remember Joshua 1 verses 6 through 7, it says, "Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee." There's a correlation between doing right and becoming strong. And I think the reason is because you do a little bit of steps at a time, and it creates big things in the process. It moves you from one order of process to another order. It's like keeping the Sabbath. We're all keeping the Sabbath today. And because of that, we're taking control of our week. We don't have someone telling us exactly what we're supposed to do on this day. Yahweh has given us this day for rest. And we've told our employers, no, Yahweh told me that I'm supposed to do this, so I am taking control of my week. You're not going to control this for me. And as you do that, you take more and more control of your life as through Yahweh commands us. And it's very empowering because you don't want this world to persuade us and change us to be something else. There's a doctor, Dr. Jordan Peterson. I don't know if anybody's heard of him before. He's huge on the internet now. He's a clinical psychologist, and he is a professor at the University of Toronto. I'm sure our Canadian brethren probably have heard of him. Last year there was a Bill C-16 for the government, and it basically talked about gender identity and forcing people to use gender pronouns, which is ridiculous. Basically Canadians have to say Z and Z and very strange pronouns, and they're forced to say these things. He was fighting against this this terrible thing, and he became very popular. And he has some great advice about gaining control of your of the chaos. And he says, clean up your room, which is, you know, very interesting, especially for myself. Just ask my mother. I wasn't very, let's just say that my excuse for not dusting was that I was building up an immunity to the dust particles so I could get out of dusting. So it's pretty bad. I had some chaos I had to clean up, sort out. But he said, if you think about your room or your house, it's almost like you're part of the universe, the thing that you can control. And if you can clean up your room, if you can clean up a part of your house, then you're like, well, what else can I do? What else can I sort out? What else can I figure out? And it expands out. It's the same thing of doing Yahweh's commands. You do one thing, and it expands to another part of your life, and expands to another part of your life. And eventually, you've gotten at least some sense of sorting yourself out. And you gain strength by doing these small things. And it reminds me of Luke 16, verse 10, and says, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. So in conclusion, sadly, we'll never be able to rid ourselves of all the chaos in our lives. It's just, it's only going to happen whenever the earth is made new, whenever Yahshua comes back, and whenever the earth is changed. But until then, we have to deal with this chaos. We have to deal with these problems in our lives and face up to it. We shouldn't run from it. We shouldn't think that it's just going to go away. We must stay humble in the course as we're going through it. And sadly, we have to constantly overcome these things. It's a constant process. We can't just give up because that's what life is all about. You stop struggling for food and water, then you die. So life is all about this struggle that we face, and we constantly have to work towards it. But thankfully, we have Yahweh to help us, to guide us, and we have his commands. They give us, you know, a great way to guide us and help us to live through this life and to ride out this wave of chaos and to adapt to its issues. May Yahweh bless.